This hour brought to you by GCNLife.com. Eliminate bags under your eyes in minutes with Instantly Ageless from GCNLife.com.
Number 3, coming to you live, this is Lock and Load. Sent out a text earlier today saying, hey, you want to come talk about the Supreme Court thing? And basically it was a much more strong version of heck yeah. So joining me, again out of the marvelous Biloxi, is it Biloxi? Where are you out of, Stephen?
I'm right north of Jackson.
Jackson, okay. Joining us again from the great state of Mississippi is Stephen Stambalia, attorney at law. So, we talked about this, and you, right here when we were talking about it, you felt that this would be a case that would, or this case would be rendered moot by the Supreme Court.
Yeah, very unpopular when I said it, but yeah, that's what happened.
So, now, I have seen, and one guy I know wrote a story for AmmoLand, and he said, today the Supreme Court sided with the city of New York.
No.
Tell me what, so just so everybody knows, what happened today with the Supreme Court with this New York State suit that was being considered?
So first off, we have to explain what it is the Supreme Court does. They look at lower court opinions, and they say whether or not the lower court opinion was right or wrong. And in that pronouncement of if the lower court was right or wrong, there has to be something for them to do, to change. So in the New York rifle case, what happened is the district court, that's the lowest federal court, said, you don't have a right to take your gun from this house to your second house or from this house to a range outside of the city because, hey, New York City says so. The Second Circuit, which is the New York Circuit, says, yeah, we agree with the district court. So you don't have that right. The Supreme Court, and they haven't taken any cases, any real Second Amendment cases since McDonald, and that was decided in, 2010, right?
Right.
So no one expected them to take such a lowly New York case because the issue was, can you take a gun to a second house? And that doesn't really affect a lot of Americans. And let me take this one step further. New York City is the only city in the country that would not let you have taken it to a second house or let you take your gun to a range outside of the city. So we're talking the narrowest of narrow cases. But anyways, the Supreme Court said, we'll hear this case. So what did New York City do? They said, oh, we don't mean it. We're going to change our law, and now you can do that. And just to be sure, New York State's going to change its law to say we can't change this law to change it back to what it was and not let you take it. So with that backdrop, the Supreme Court today said the case is moot because the plaintiffs got everything they asked for, but we're not going to just dismiss this case as moot outright. We're going to remand it back to the lower courts to see whether or not it's too late for the plaintiff to ask for damages. So typically in a case like this, once you're given all the relief you ask for, the case is over.
Right.
One of the issues in this case is the plaintiff did not ask for damages, which is something that we do, Alan Beck and I do in our complaints when it's appropriate, because you want to stop this kind of mootness issue from going on. Like as soon as you sue a city or a state, they're like, man, here are the plaintiff's attorneys again, and they're about to make some really good Second Amendment case law for them, really bad for us. Let's just give them what they want. That way we can control it through legislation versus the court striking our entire law down. It's going back down to the circuit court and then back down to the district court so they can determine if it's too late to add a request for damages, I guess.
Now, when we were talking about this, you said there were better cases for them to look at. You still feel that way?
Okay. So we got to look at it this way. You know, I'm going to like upset a whole bunch of people by saying this is not a good case. It's not that it's not a good case. If we can get the Supreme Court to come in and say, okay, First Circuit, Ninth Circuit, Fourth Circuit, all these different circuits, y'all are getting the law wrong. Apply Heller like this. Then New York Rifle could have been a good case. But the relief that would have come from it, had they said, yes, New York City is violating the Second Amendment, would be so narrow that it wouldn't help people stay in, like, Hawaii, when you can already go take your gun to a range, but you can't get a permit to carry outside your home. It's not going to be helpful to a place like that unless they could come and say, you know, what I just said a minute ago. However, there are some cases at the Supreme Court right now, and that's something that I wanted to mention to you. There's like 10 cases right now pending the Supreme Court either taking or rejecting the case. And I was doing a little bit of preliminary research when you texted me to see if they had been relisted for conference. All of these cases have been held. Typically what would happen is you would file your petition for the Supreme Court to hear your case. The Supreme Court would, you know, deny it 99 times out of 10 or 99 times out of 100, and, you know, that would be the end of your case. Well, they've held on to these gun cases, and, you know, we all kind of assumed, well, it's because of New York Rifle. If they do something with New York Rifle, if they pronounce some new test or some new law, then it would make sense for them to hold on to these cases so they could, what we call GVR, grant the petition, vacate the lower court ruling and remand it, GVR, to the lower court to, you know, apply this new rule. Well, there's no new rule. It's, we've got no case. So they've relisted all of these cases for the May 1st conference, which is this Friday. So I think Monday there is a high chance that we will have an additional grant of a Second Amendment case. Now, granted, I don't have any insider knowledge. All this stuff is played really close to the vest at the Supreme Court. So, you know, no one really knows what they're going to do. But, you know, if I'm thinking logically, and I try to think logically through this, it's like, well, what should they do? If they want to take a Second Amendment case, they should take one like Cheeseman. Cheeseman is a New Jersey case where he's going after justifiable need. Mark Cheeseman wants to get a permit in New Jersey. In New Jersey, you pretty much have to be shot, stabbed, or something, and have the threat of that happening again. You
know, or a politician.
We'll go with just the normal, with just us little peons, right?
Yeah.
You have to have just this outstanding showing of justifiable need before they give you a permit. And then again, it's only good for 2 years. So there's some other good cases that the Supreme Court could take. And, you know, that's kind of where, you know, we're here reading the tea leaves and just waiting. I will tell you this morning, there's a flurry of activity on Alan and I on my side filing this case, the New York Rifle case, in our Young v. Hawaii case.
In that's right.
Circuit. You know, we were staying pending New York Rifle because, well, I got to be careful here, because the Ninth Circuit wanted to see what the Supreme Court was going to do. And so, well, they didn't do anything. And now we asked the Ninth Circuit to schedule oral argument immediately. And we also have a case out in Hawaii over electric arms. And that judge stayed that case pending New York Rifle. And again, he said that he didn't do anything.
Right.
So, you know, decide the case.
Well, and, let me get you to hang on right there. I want to get your... Because I want to hear about this. I knew we were going to get to the Young case because I know that was been parked. Stephen and his partner, Alan Beck, they sort of prowl. They take cases that a lot of people don't want to take, a lot of big names don't want to take. And then they do something with them that the big names couldn't do. They get results. We'll be right back. This is Lock and Load. We'll be right back.
Chrysler.com, the home of DeSantis quality built American made products for 45 plus years. Supporting police and government contracts from first responders to responsible citizens. Holster.com is your source for quality American made leather and kydex holsters for the armed American. For concealed carry or open carry, Holster.com has what you need. We didn't invent concealment, we perfected it. Go to Holster.com now and buy a DeSantis holster today.
What's in a name? If that name is Ace Firearms, you've just entered a very expensive business. First, a fully appointed gun shop with all the guns, ammo, and accessories you could possibly imagine. But then you enter the manufacturing facility that is home to Red Alligator Concealment, Militia Arms Customs, and so much more. Ace Firearms is beyond a simple gun shop. This is a totally peerless operation. To find out more, go to acefirearms.com. Ace Firearms. This is only the beginning.
This is a pandemic survival alert and the most time-sensitive messages you will hear this year. You still have time to plant a one-acre crisis garden and secure a supply of your own nutrient-dense food. But time is running out, and it's one deadline you don't want to miss. Who should plant a crisis garden? Individuals, families, churches, communities, anyone or any group that sees hard times ahead. Let's face it, even the mainline media is talking about food supply disruptions and the growing number of grocery store workers who are becoming sick. But there's more. Meat packing plants are closing, mile-long lines at food pantries, and more farmers now in financial trouble. The truth is, growing nutrient-dense vegetables this summer may be the single most important thing you do. Go to SurvivalSeedBank.com and watch the new video to understand what we're really up against. Get free bonus seeds, special quarantine reports, too. Don't wait. Every minute counts. Go to SurvivalSeedBank.com. That's SurvivalSeedBank.com.
Anytime, any place, anywhere. Radio remains the most intimate of all forms of media. At home, at work, in the car, on smartphones. Over 90% of consumers still listen to radio every week. That makes choosing radio as a place to advertise your business one of the best decisions you can make. Email advertise@gcnlive.com and partner up with an experienced GCN representative. Advertise@gcnlive.com. Easy, affordable, effective.
Get healthy, not high, with 100% pure CBD powerful natural pain relief from Veterans Vitality. GCN listeners, have you ever thought about how CBD may help you? I'm sure you have heard about the many benefits of CBD. Well, here's your opportunity to try before you buy. Created by veterans and for everyone who deserves better choices, our CBD is derived from organic hemp, grown in the USA, and third-party tested. Veterans Vitality CBD saves you as much as 25 to 50% over our competition, and a portion of all sales is contributed to veteran nonprofits and events. Many of our customers have experienced improved quality of life, help with anxiety, PTSD, and overall well-being. Our products do not contain THC. They are safe, non-addictive, effective, and 100% legal. GCN listeners, get your free trial bottle of premium CBD by simply paying shipping and handling at GCNFreeCBD.com. That's GCNFreeCBD.com. Again, GCNFreeCBD.com. Offered by Veterans Vitality Premium CBD.
Are you afraid to go to the mailbox because of letter after letter from the IRS? Are they stacking on more and more penalties and interest? By now, you know the problem won't go away on its own. Don't let the IRS chase you to your grave with penalties and interest and liens and levies. You need real help now. I'm Dan Pilla. I wrote the book on tax debt settlement, and I help thousands of people solve tax problems they thought couldn't be solved. I can help you too. Call 800-34-NO-TAX or go to my website, danpilla.com. That's danpilla.com. danpilla.com.
Coming to you live, this is Lock and Load. I am speaking with Stephen Stambolia, attorney at law. Now, I want to talk some more about this whole New York State case, and I mean like you just the case that you just mentioned coming out of New Jersey. Would that have further-reaching implications for the Second Amendment if that one was taken up?
Oh, yeah, absolutely. Because, you know, you've got a lot of states with a a heightened requirement to show that you really just need to carry a gun outside your house. I mean, so you got New Jersey, New York, Hawaii, California, and, you know, not all counties in California are like that, but, you know, some are, and one is more than too many. But yeah, if you had a Supreme Court case, like let's say they took Cheeseman, which was the justifiable need case out of New Jersey, and ruled that you can't have that enhanced requirement for showing that you need to carry a gun outside your house, and New Jersey became shall issue, well, that would affect all of the states. It's not going to affect Mississippi because, you know, we give guns, you know, at the border of Louisiana and Tennessee and Alabama. It's like, hey, you're driving in, you know, here's your Glock 17, whatever. But for states that are, you know, still controlled by commies, it's going to have a huge impact on them. And I would say that a case with a bigger, broader national impact would be better than the tiniest of tiny, narrowest of narrow victories that you could have. Now, granted, any victory is one that we would take, but I don't want it to affect people that just have, you know, the need to take it to another house. I don't want a second house. I want it to, you know, to affect everybody, affect everyone that, you know, wants to carry that can.
So all these people now, there some of these people that I think should actually know better. What do you think about this talk that they get out there and say, well, today the Supreme Court sided with New York City? That's really sort of irresponsible to say it that way, isn't it? I'll say it. If you don't want to say it, I'll say it. Let me explain why I'm saying it, okay? Because there are real fights out there to be fought, and there are fights that are not really going to develop into anything we can hope to win. And I'm a big follower of Sun Tzu. I mean, if I got no issues going into a fight, but I intend to win the fight when I go into it. Right? So I don't look at every other, you know, every case that comes up that has any sort of Second Amendment connotation to it. Not all of those are where I'm willing to die. I'm not willing to die on each and every one of those hills.
Yeah. So let me answer your question. The court did not side with New York City, did not side with New York or New York City. The court can only deal with cases and controversies. The court cannot issue advisory opinions. It's just black letter law. You just can't do it. That's not what they're there for. If they were to come out and it's just my opinion, okay, it's just my opinion. If the court was to come out and say you're violating the law and this is what you did wrong. Granted, you changed the law, but you can't do it again. And here's what you should do. They can't do it. So they didn't side with them. They properly, in my opinion, mooted the case because there was no case or controversy. The plaintiffs did not have a damages provision. There was nothing else for the court to do. It would have done nothing for them to say, New York City, you violated their constitutional rights, because at the end of the day, well, what are the plaintiffs asking for? They're asking for their rights not to be violated. New York changed their law. They're not violating their rights anymore. Had they said, we want to be made whole for the rights that you violated, well, that's a different question, but that's not what the plaintiffs asked for.
Right.
And it's a technical issue, but that's what it is. And you got to be careful with your pleadings, and you have to be careful what you ask for and what you don't ask for.
When I listen to you with everything you say, I begin to understand why attorneys have to actually do this, because of all the technicalities that are involved, it takes somebody very adept to understand the technicalities and maneuver around them, doesn't it?
You just have to know what, I mean, I'm not saying you have to know what you're doing. I mean, obviously that's the case, but, no one thought, I don't think, when they filed New York Rifle that it was going to go to the Supreme Court.
Right.
I don't think that, you know, anyone thought that. I mean, of course, you know, Alan and I do cases where we're like, this is a case for the Supreme Court. You know, like the Bumstock case is going to be a case for the Supreme Court because I don't think the district court's going to rule in our favor. However, you know, you have to look at these cases when you take them as, is this Supreme Court case material? And we're going to do the best job that we can to make it in the best available posture when we get to, you know, the appeals court or the petition for cert stage at the Supreme Court, that we will have the best shot that we can to, you know, take it to the next level, like Young. If we lose Young in the Ninth Circuit, then that's a really good case to go up to the Supreme Court. I mean, number one, it's already been on appeal for like over 7 years now. I mean,
right.
I just find it an abomination that we're still waiting. Number one, he won the first round, and then Hawaii comes in belatedly and says, "Eh, well, you know, we want a second bite of this apple. Let's go in bonk." And the court's like, "Yeah, you know, why not go in bonk?" And that just means that since the Ninth Circuit is so big, only half the court's going to hear it this time. The first time's a three-judge panel. The en banc proceeding, I can't remember how many active judges they have now, 24 or something. We're going to have like an 11 or 12-judge panel. And then we have a shot at going en banc with the full court again. So he's basically going to get, you know, three shots at this. But they only went en banc to overrule the panel decision where the panel found Mr. Young's rights were violated.
Right. Now, isn't half of the Ninth Circuit now, hasn't Trump reconstituted half of the Ninth Circuit now?
I'm not sure if he's done it fully. I haven't looked at the statistics recently. I know he was very, very close, like one or two or three away. I don't know if it has switched to full Republican yet, but if it hasn't, it's super close, which is...
So it, with an en banc hearing, with an en banc hearing where it's just half the court... do they get, who picks who those justices would be, and is it sort of a 52 playing 52 pickup? And I don't know, we've got about a minute before the next break. So you hold that answer if you would, and when we come back we'll touch on that. But I mean, there's a lot of things that I am aware of that seem to be really teetering on something really that's going to have a whole lot of reach. It's going to take a bunch of anti-gunners and make them look like that opening to the movie Scanners when the guy's head implodes.
Mm-hmm.
So that's what I'm thinking. But anyway, coming up on the next break, Stephen spends a lot of time on the phone. The only good thing about the coronavirus thing is I've been able to get a hold of him whenever I want to talk to him. So, I mean, most of the time that's not the case. So he is an attorney at law. He and his partner, Alan Beck, they go around, and they cause a lot of waves. We'll be right back. This is Lock and Load.
Makes top quality AR style firearms for sport, military, and law enforcement. 100% made in America parts and materials. We manufacture revolutionary three position binary triggers that can be selected to fire on the pull and release, or set to fire normally. We strongly support and uphold our Second Amendment. We hope you do too. Get a 10% discount when you mention the code word lock and load at franklinarmory.com.
Protect, hunt, compete. This is the mantra of CZUSA, delivered via a lineup of superlatives with handguns proven to function in both real-world and competitive settings. Rifles designed specifically for the mission, whether it is law enforcement or built for the plains of Africa. CZUSA has engineered peerless reliability into their superlative product line. Go to cz-usa.com and find out what serious shooters have known since 1991.
USA Radio News with Tim Berg.
President Trump is citing encouraging signs of progress in the ongoing coronavirus outbreak.
Thanks to our comprehensive strategy and extraordinary devotion to our citizens, we've had such tremendous support all over.
The SBA is beginning the process of approving loans for small business owners. This comes as $310 billion in funds was added to the Paycheck Protection Program. Former Starbucks CEO Howard Schultz believes these loans are just Band-Aids.
PPP One and PPP Two is just a short-term band-aid that will run out of money in the next 7 to 8 weeks. And when businesses reopen, they will be forced to close in by Labor Day because they will not be able to sustain the level of business that they currently have.
Schultz speaking there on Fox Business. You're listening to USA Radio News. Another major endorsement for the last Democratic candidate standing. Here's USA Radio Network's Chris Barnes in Washington.
It was not unexpected. The only question was when it would happen. And on Monday morning, House Speaker Nancy Pelosi released a video endorsing Joe Biden for the Democratic presidential nomination.
Now more than ever, we need a forward-looking, battle-tested leader who will fight for the people. A president with the values, experience, and the strategic thinking to bring our nation together.
And Pelosi added that elections always matter, but possibly never as much as the upcoming presidential balloting. For USA Radio News, I'm Chris Barnes.
The Senate will return on May 4th after an extended recess amid the coronavirus pandemic. That's at least according to Senate Majority Leader Mitch McConnell. The GOP leader says the Senate will modify its routines but will not try to legislate long distance anymore. You're listening to USA Radio News.
Extend your life with
Extendivite really works. Just listen to what Wayne has to say.
Extendivite. I have been taking it for about 2 years, and I had really bad heart palpitations. And since I've been taking it, I don't have any major episodes at all anymore. I'm 76 years old, and I still play competitive basketball. Well, of course, I've taken care of myself really good since I was 60, but Extendivite really helped the blood pressure, really helped the... I used to get really bad episodes of heart palpitations, just skipping beats and double beats. But also I wanted to tell you that I really appreciate your broadcast. They're just really refreshing.
To order, call 1-877-928-8822. That's 1-877-928-8822 or visit heartdrop.com.
Extend your life with Extendivite.
Live. This is Lock and Load. And we are speaking with Stephen Stambalia. Before you answer that question, I need to do a little quick PSA, if you'd be so kind. You'll like this too, Stephen. You're going to like this a lot. Mm-hmm. Starting Monday, Lock and Load is shifting from 6 to 9 p.m. Eastern Time to 3 to 6 p.m. Eastern Time. That's starting May the 4th. And very shortly, we're going in Northern California. I think it's about 8 TV stations. We're going to start Lock and Load TV. Do you have Skype, Stephen?
I do. That's
outstanding. Awesome. All right, so we can do all that video stuff. We can do all that video stuff and behind the enemy lines.
Wow, I'm
that'll
have to
be
wear
fun,
a
huh?
suit or something.
Man, I'm not wearing a suit. I'm not wearing a suit. That's the last thing I'm going to do. I'm going to be, but I will have to wear a shirt with a collar, but that's all beside the point. That's all beside the point. That's coming up. The show, the hours of the radio show will change next week, 3 to 6 p.m. starting Monday, and the Lock and Load TV starts. We got a couple more things we got to wait on due to coronavirus. But before we left, I'd asked Stephen Stambalia, attorney at law, how they choose for the, if they're going to split up the Ninth Circuit to hear it en banc, how do they choose the, if it's just a random thing, I mean, it sort of becomes like playing one of those slot machines, isn't it? You pull the handle and you might win.
Okay, so not to burst your bubble. So the way that I understand it is the panel gets picked when they decide to go en banc, which would be in this case February of 2019. Which would be before Trump has appointed all of these great judges to the circuit. So I don't know, because I've never had a case go en banc like this. I don't know exactly how they do it. All I can tell you is I have a feeling that the panel has already been picked.
And that's okay. That's okay. I mean,
it is what it is.
Yeah. I mean, you sort of knew that already, right? I didn't know. That's why I wanted to know.
Yeah. I mean, we're in the Ninth Circuit on a gun case. So, you already have the very anti-gun judges that take the Second Amendment, as Justice Thomas has quoted multiple times in his dissent, and they don't treat it very fairly, and they treat it like, the amendment that never was. And so, we're already facing judges that would elevate other amendments. So maybe amendments that don't even exist in the Constitution.
Right.
And make those rights better rights than the distasteful Second Amendment. I don't know. I'm just kind of making that up, but that's pretty much how I feel about how they treat the Second Amendment. They treat it like the redheaded stepchild, and no offense to redheaded stepchildren, but that's kind of how the way the judges treat the Second Amendment. Just look at New York Rifle. I mean, they defended their law in the district court and the court of appeals. And then when they got to the Supreme Court, they're like, just kidding. We're going to change this law, because they knew that they were going to lose because it's such a dumb law.
Yeah.
That was pretty blatant. The whole public safety thing. Well, they might take their guns out of their house. Yeah. Well, what if they do? And they have to keep it. It's not like in Mississippi where you can actually drive around with a gun in your car and you can actually carry it on your person without a permit. In New York, it all has to be licensed. It's very expensive. It's very time consuming. And if you wanted to transfer it from your house to a range in the city, it has to be locked up in a place inaccessible to you with the ammunition separate from you. So, it's a sham. All of it's a sham. But, the Supreme Court knows that. They can't do anything about it.
Right. Well, I'm not a big believer in leaving all of this up to the Supreme Court in the first place. I'm a real big believer, and I want to shift gears with you a little bit, because you have to do a lot of critical thinking doing what you do. So I want to go the coronavirus way with you right now, simply because did you see where in New York City they did a test and they found 3 million New Yorkers with the antibodies in their blood?
It would not surprise me. I have talked to countless people.
When you and I were speaking face to face in Las Vegas in January, I had already caught coronavirus.
I believe that I had already caught it as well.
Yeah. So, coronavirus was here in December. It was here in January. What we're going to find out is probably a lot of people have already had it. A majority of Americans have probably already had it. And the death rate is no worse than the reason the numeric death rate might be higher would be because of how contagious it is and how many people can get it. But how many people got it that were asymptomatic?
Yeah.
Now,
and look, when I think I had it, I was not asymptomatic. It was the worst cough, and you want to call it bronchitis or whatever you want to call it. It was the worst one I've ever had.
Did you feel like your bronchial tube going down to your lungs was like punching out of your chest?
Yes. I mean,
that's how mine felt.
And you couldn't stop it. No matter what you took, no matter what you did, you couldn't stop it. And then, I looked and I actually talked to one of my doctor friends, and they're like, we don't test for antibodies here in Mississippi. Well, wouldn't it be nice to know that I could have had it in January? I mean, I don't think Mississippi registered their first death until sometime early March. But wouldn't it be nice to know that, in fact, people here actually had it before March? I think that would change the timeline a little bit.
It would. And here's the other thing, though, that I see the things that you're talking about, all of this testing and everything, before they made a policy, and I realize the feds came out with guidelines and the states had to implement it, but before they made all of these changes in policy, couldn't they have looked at like coronavirus made it into the prisons where they can enforce social distancing without violating anybody's rights because they're convicts.
Right.
And still people caught coronavirus in prison.
Yeah.
So at what point was it really a smoking hot idea to try to hide from it?
This is like, it's so bizarre to me. Alan lives in California, and he was telling me, he's like, yeah, the beach is open today. And I'm like, oh, you need to, you know, check the news again. Gavin Newsom closed the beaches again and said that, you know, they're going to be more aggressive in enforcing a ban on people going to the beach. And I'm like, why wouldn't you want people to go outside and stay 6 feet apart or whatever the stupid...
I thought vitamin D and heat killed the virus.
Oh, I mean, do we have to, like, go do the Lysol challenge now and, you know, whatever else we're being told to do? I think it's overblown. I think people should just go about their life. If you're too afraid to go outside, I get it. Stay home. It's fine. But, you know, the rest of us need to get on with our lives. I mean, I've got cases with people with rights that are being violated by the government. And, you know, their cases are stayed right now because it's like, well, one of my cases deals with the NFA, the National Firearms Act, and the registry, and having people being denied purchases for suppressors and things. And the FBI is like, well, we don't want to be deposed because we're under a shelter in place order. And, well, I can't fly over there because then, you know, I can't get in front of these people to depose them. I like to be right in front of you when I depose you. Hawaii right wants to quarantine me for 14 days. I'm not paying 14 days of a hotel so I can go depose someone for 3 hours and then fly home. It's a waste of money. It's a waste of time.
Hang on for me. We're coming up on the next break. Speaking with Attorney General. That's right. I'm going to elevate you.
Come on.
Attorney at Law, Stephen Stamblier. We'll be right back. This is Lock and Load.
We've all seen and perhaps use the alcohol-based hand sanitizers. Have you noticed how it dries your skin, and as soon as the alcohol evaporates, it's no longer effective? GCNteam.com has alcohol-free antibacterial soap and foam meeting or exceeding all requirements set forth by the United States Food and Drug Administration. Come to GCNteam.com. Keyword antibacterial, or call 877-878-4203.
Now with orders to stay at home, public health concerns, the reality of illness due to pathogens and viruses, your health is at an all-time high risk. That's why it's critical to take a proactive approach to boost your immune system. You can with new nano-colloidal silver from Americare. Our patented process with tiny silver particles, 1/100th the size of a red blood cell, allows for maximum body absorption. Americare's nano-colloidal silver effectively disinfects your body internally, attacking pathogens and viruses while supercharging your immune system. Colloidal silver is antibacterial and antiviral. Simply put, it prohibits bacterial respiration, suffocating viral cells, preventing the virus from replicating. And now, due to public health concern, Americare is authorized to offer our lowest and best price ever, around $1 a day, but supplies are limited. Purchase nanocolloidal silver now at immunesupportnow.com. That's immunesupportnow.com. These statements have not been evaluated by the Food and Drug Administration. This product is not intended to diagnose, treat, cure, or prevent any disease. Supplies are limited.
Houseflies defecate every 4 to 5 minutes, spreading diseases and germs. Protect your food and your health with Bug Assault, a miniaturized shotgun which utilizes ordinary table salt as ammunition. Non-toxic, no batteries required, only $39.95. Use discount code GCN and get an extra 10% off your purchase at bugassault.com. Fire your fly swatter. Get your Bug Assault today.
I'm here with Scott Jusseum, founder of OMG Tax. Tell us how your company helps our listeners out there who have a problem with the IRS.
My team of lawyers, enrolled agents, and licensed tax experts remove wage garnishments sometimes in the same day. We even have reduced the total debt some of our clients were required to pay through what is known as an offer in compromise.
Can you give us an example of somebody you help?
Oh, can I ever? We have taken a $500,000 liability with the IRS Guess what? The client didn't pay a dime through the representation known as non-collectible status with the government.
If you owe the IRS more than $10,000 and you want to see if it's possible to pay a lot less, call OMG Tax right now for a free tax-saving consultation.
Call 800-486-8112. 800-486-8112. 800-486-8112. That's 800-486-8112.
Advertising is simple. It starts with someone who has a need.
Mom!
And then gets more specific.
Mom, I want pizza.
Then we add urgency.
I want pizza tonight.
Before you know it, your GCN advertising message is reaching millions of listeners. Listeners who are definitely in need.
We want pizza!
You see, advertising on GCN is simple. Your message meets their need, and the result means new business for you. Tell us about your business, then let our super creative department go to work to craft just the right message to feed those who have an urgent need.
We want pizza tonight!
GCN has the most affordable national radio advertising rates, period. And millions of people listen to GCN radio programs on over 1,000 AM and FM and XM stations and streaming audio live. Get started today with GCN, the Genesis Communications Network. Just shoot us an email, advertise@gcnlive.com.
Coming to you live. This is Lock and Load. And we are speaking with attorney at law, Stephen Stambolia. Or is it, I should actually say Stephen Stambolia, attorney at law, shouldn't I? Yeah. Yeah.
Better than attorney general, man. What did I do to you?
You don't think you'd make a good, I think you'd make a very good attorney general.
No. Never.
You would be a Trump-esque attorney general. And I mean that in the highest form of flattery. Anyway.
I'm good. I appreciate it, though.
Anyway. Let me ask you this. Now, I've heard talk that, speaking of attorney generals, that Barr has indicated that he may back suing certain states where they have gone sort of Pol Pot on their, you know, in their respective areas where they, you know, like in California.
Yeah.
Has there become a new law out where you can be charged? I could just, you know, I would love to see how this works when they drag him into court. All right, on April 27th, when it was 106 degrees, you were found to be on the beach. How do you plead? That's a magnificent tan, by the way. How do you plead? I mean, that's just stupid.
You know, there is a statute, deprivation of rights under color of law. It's in Title 18, which is the title for the crimes, the federal crimes, where they talk about you know, basically violating people's civil rights. And there is a criminal statute that I would love to see the attorney general prosecute people under. But, you know, here's how I look at this. You know, talk is cheap. We can all talk about what we're going to do until he decides to, you know, put his, you know, money where his proverbial mouth is and start bringing these actions. I'll just sit back and say, I like his speech. Kind of like the whole Fast and Furious thing. I liked Grassley's speeches, and I liked Daryl Issa's speeches, but nothing really happened with that. So,
right.
You know, until they start doing something, I'll just kind of hang back and see what happens.
Do you think that the electorate has been, the problem that I've seen throughout the United States is not so much the people that are engaged, because, like, the people that listen to this are very engaged.
Right.
Problem has been that most people didn't want to engage. They just didn't want to do it. And I think now everybody has been forced into a situation now to where they have to look at things and say, wow, when did we get to this point?
Yep. I think you're right.
I'm wondering if this is going to change the electorate, which, I mean, if the electorate would change and start, you know, not electing people like, I don't know, Ralph Northam.
Yeah. What were they thinking?
Yeah, I mean, you could go out there and actually make some headway for the Second Amendment. But as long as they keep electing all these little, you know, the leaders of these little fiefs, it's always going to be a game where we're trying to just, it's almost like we're just trying to hang on, isn't it?
Yeah, it is. And, you know, that's the thing. It, you know, I get calls all the time. It's like, hey, we need your help in New Jersey. And, you know, I'm not saying the people that are calling me are the ones that voted for, you know, Governor Murphy, but it's so incredibly difficult to litigate in a state like New Jersey, yet they keep electing these people that are either extremely anti-gun or Chris Christie pro-gun, which is basically like saying, I'm not really pro-gun, but I say that I am pro-gun. And it's really hard to fight against these people. You know, they're passing all these laws, and Northam is the perfect example. You know, they had that massive turnout on lobby day, which was fantastic, but they still passed these anti-gun laws, and then we got to go to court and fight them. It's just a mess. I don't know how else to say it politely.
Right, and I mean it's a mess that it's a mess that happens due to lack of attention, isn't it?
It is
these elections.
Yeah, well, we get complacent. It's like, yeah, you know, no big deal. You know, what's going to happen? Who cares? You know, the Republicans and the Democrats are the same. In New Jersey, that's almost the truth. In a lot of the other parts of the country, and I'll give you a quick example. So in Mississippi, we have a mayor of Jackson, Antar Chokwe-Lumumba, who is absolutely the most extremist Pan-African mayor you can possibly think that you would have in America, yet he has been elected the mayor of Jackson, Mississippi, Jackson the city. He banned open carry, supposedly, because of the COVID crisis and because there were two deaths last week in Jackson, which that's no big deal. I mean, people kill each other all the time in Jackson. It's like one of the most dangerous cities in America that no one talks about because, you know, it's based in Mississippi. But
right.
He banned open carry and claimed it was because of the COVID crisis and open carry. I'm like, criminals don't get, you know, criminals don't open carry their guns. They carry it in their waistband or they don't carry it like normal law-abiding functional adults that pay taxes carry their firearm.
They don't even have holsters.
That too. So our Attorney General, Lynn Fitch, immediately sent off a letter today. He did this like Friday afternoon, but never sent his order out because, you know, he's an attorney, but he's an idiot and he's afraid to, you know, have the people look at what he's saying. But she fired off a letter to him today saying basically that your, you know, quote, executive order violates our state preemption. And I had worked all weekend, you know, with some other large gun groups, like, hey, we're going to file a lawsuit. And then I'm like, you know what? We're just going to sit back and watch this one. Because all of these, you know, all of our elected officials, one of our representatives said, you know, we're going to withhold funding to the city of Jackson. So I'm like, yeah, I don't think y'all need me for this one. And it's sad because I want to file a lawsuit here because I've never had to file a lawsuit in Mississippi because we have such great gun law. But the minute you stop paying attention to what's going on, you elect someone like Lumumba, who's going to ban open carry because that's what's causing the people to kill each other in Jackson.
Ah.
Okay. I mean, you know, correlation and causation.
Can mayors do that? Ban?
I mean, he has some authority, but not to ban guns.
Do they have preemption in Mississippi?
Oh, hardcore. Yeah, we're going to hold him personally responsible for his nonsensical order. I mean, I've got a complaint just ready to get filed. I'm just kind of waiting to see what happens. We have a statute that literally holds them personally, not the city of Jackson's going to write me a check. Him, he's going to write me a check.
See,
I'm just going to wait.
I still say you'd be a fine attorney general. I could just see that working. The deep state would, everything on them would contract. It'd be glorious.
You know, it's like FOIA stuff. I publish everything. I don't believe that stuff should be secret. So I just, you know, when I get all these FOIAs, it immediately gets published because information, if we're really going to look at FOIA, then that's a Freedom of Information Act law. If we really look at what the information, what they say is supposed to be, you know, easily accessible to the people, let the sunlight in, it disinfects, then all of this information should be, you know, publicly available. So that's what I do. Post it everywhere. And there everyone you go. Can see what I see.
Well, I want to take this, first of all, when I get this, when I get this lock and load TV off and I figure out what the schedule is going to be and everything else, that'll probably take place about this time now, just so you know. And, okay. There will be video integration and everything, and we're probably going to stream it live on Facebook and then, put it out there with the TV and then, maybe put it back with the YouTube and all that other fine stuff. I've just got to get a couple more pieces that, normally, I'd be able to get all, they'd be laying all over the place. I'd be tripping over them, but not necessarily that way. And then, Stephen really likes to come on the show really early. So, starting next week, starting next week, you can come on the show at 2 p.m. your time.
That would be so nice.
Yeah, well, so it's happening. It's starting next week. So, thank you for joining me this evening on such short notice. I texted him earlier this morning, and he said, oh, yeah, I definitely want to talk about that. So I do appreciate that.
No, it's my pleasure, Bill. You have a great night, sir.
I'll be in touch.
All right, take care. Bye-bye.
Bye. We will be back in 21 hours, and between now and then, please, if you would, remember this. Pay attention to what's going on around you. Look at all the news that you're hearing, not from the politicians, but from places like Tyson Foods, and plan accordingly. It's never been about gun control, not once, not ever. It has been, and it's always going to be, about total control. This has been Lock and Load.
We know there's no such thing as a fair fight, and we bring the unfair advantage that is the 2011 platform.
Dominate.
At STI, we know the most important gun you own is the one that you're carrying when you're facing that threat to life and freedom.
Win.
We want you to enter that objective confident that you are carrying the best gun in a gunfight. No compromise. No sacrifice. STIguns.com. Stand ready to face down the darkness with 2011.
I am not done, but I have found a way to thrive. Elevate. Elevate is a wearable technology designed to mitigate your active lifestyle. Whether you're a professional athlete looking to enhance performance, a yoga practitioner wishing to gain more flexibility, or a person seeking natural ways to relieve pain,
benefits encompass all walks to life and lifestyles.
Elevate is not a cure, but the IE-infused clothing will give you that extra percentage needed to help you get moving. For more information or to order, go to ElevateBill.com. Elevate, because I am not done yet.
Let me ask you something. What are you doing when you put money in a 401k or IRA, or store jumper cables in your vehicle, or purchase health insurance? You're preparing. You're preparing to ensure you have enough money for retirement. You're preparing for when your car battery dies, or to have assistance paying a major unexpected medical bill. That all makes sense. The same goes for building a food storage plan. You're preparing for when emergencies or disasters strike and shelves go empty at your grocery store. The best way to prepare is with My Patriot Supply. They've helped a million hardworking Americans become more self-sufficient. My Patriot Supply sells hundreds of items, including dozens of emergency food kits, at MyPatriotSupply.com. It could be an earthquake, a cyber attack freezing our banking system, or a disaster that shuts down our power grid for weeks. For all these emergencies and more, get your supplies and prepare today at MyPatriotSupply.com. No more rushing to find empty store shelves because you're too late. Do it now so you're ready. MyPatriotSupply.com.